Caltech invented the concealed carry category years ago with the P11, but did they stop there? Heck no. One innovation just led to another and another, and, well, just look at their latest, the P15. It's the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market at only 14 ounces and 7/8 inches wide. The P15 has a 4-inch barrel and double-stack magazine that holds 15+1 total capacity. Its gator grip texture on the polymer version increases stability and makes for ambidextrous grip safety and easy, accurate handling. If you prefer a more vintage look, choose the metal version with classic wood panels and textured grips. The P15 has a Tritium Plus fiber optic front sight with a fully adjustable Tritium 2-dot rear to keep you on target in any situation. Make the P15 your choice for concealed carry. Learn more at KeltechWeapons.com. Sign up for the Keltech Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories at KeltechWeapons.com. That's KeltechWeapons.com.
The deterioration is large. The significantly large revisions make me nervous. It really distorts the kind of view that we have and how much we've slowed over the last several plus months.
Rick Santelli from CNBC, you recognize that voice. He was the one responsible for the Tea Party battle cry back in 2009, if you remember. How you doing, my friend? I'm Sergio Sanchez, and this is The Dana Show, broadcasting to you from The Dana Show Southern Command in deep South Texas. And as always, it's an honor to be with you. Yeah, economic slowdown. Well, maybe the Fed, the chairman, finally getting what he wanted, was tapping on the brakes and slowing the economy down. Needlessly, in my opinion, I've been saying for the longest time, I'm in the camp of those individuals with, I like to think, more common sense, who believe the standard reality and truth when it comes to economic activity. Go fix it. You increase the supply, you will meet the demand. You increase the supply of anything, you will lower the price of everything. Same is true for cell phones. Same is true for flat screen televisions, and it's definitely a reality when it comes to energy. And what is the blood that pumps the American economy? It's fuel, fossil fuel, gasoline. And for the truckers, you guys out there listening to The Dana Show, God bless you. Big hug, kiss to all you. I have family that were in the trucking business for the longest time. You guys out there trucking for a living, taking all the stuff to market? Yeah, for y'all, man, I still remember 2 years ago how crazy the diesel price was, five-ish, six-ish, just you guys blowing $1,000-plus every fill-up is fossil fuel. Now, we've been seeing the economic slowdown. I'm guessing perhaps the increase in price of homes, the increase in price of money, maybe the decrease in the purchases of homes, maybe that's having a factor. But I don't believe that the Fed is going to achieve the magic number 2% inflation, annual inflation. I don't see that happening under this administration because, again, I go back to the price of fuel. It's still too expensive. Going into this Labor Day weekend, we're at what, like 380-ish if you're lucky? You're definitely closer to $4 a gallon in other places. California, you guys are lost. 450-ish plus all those taxes and regulations. So let's just round it out at a nice, cool $4, close to $4. Slap another dollar on top of that for diesel. And because this administration didn't raise the inventory, didn't raise the supply, decrease eventually the price of a standard gallon of gas of fuel for the American worker. Yeah, so much for the Democrat Party being for the little people, the little guy, the workers in America. Oh, no, screw you. We got an agenda to save the planet because we're in a crisis. It's just a bunch of propaganda to try to destroy petrol and go in a new crazy, you know, full-throttle crazy green energy agenda. Now, don't get me wrong. I've told you this before. You know, if they find a way, scientists at some university or in some lab somewhere, they find a way to power a house or power a vehicle with a glass of water, man, I'm all for it. Let's go. That's beautiful. That benefits everybody. Man, can you imagine all the benefits, how affordable energy would be, how much more we can construct, the benefits to humanity here and eventually, gosh darn, maybe even on Mars when Elon Musk finally sends us up there, just extract some water from the atmosphere, you fuel everything, but we're not there yet. And the battery technology that we're using is dirty. It hurts the environment big time. It hurts people. We got children, slaves in the Congo that with their little baby little hands are digging through the earth trying to get some of these rare minerals. Just because of an agenda, just because of this obsession with green energy, and we at the time when we have the resources, we have the petrol, we have the natural gas, we can increase the supply, decrease the price of fuel, put some more money in the pockets of the American people, all consumers, all citizens. You know, the little guy that the Democrat Party forgot a long time ago. Allow truckers that are taking all the stuff to market to save money on their transport. And, hey, not pass that inflation, that price on to you and I, the stuff that eventually makes it to the grocery store, that eventually makes it to the big box store. Make things more affordable. Take that inflation pressure off. Increase the supply of fuel, eventually domino effect, decrease the price of everything. And because of that, my friend, despite everything that this leftist Fed chair and these policymakers at the different Fed offices and the Treasury Secretary, all these people, because they're hell-bent on forcing on you and everybody else this leftist green agenda, petrol, oil industry destroying green agenda without any common sense, I don't see them reaching the magical 2%. So maybe that the price of money, the price of all this will continue to grow. There are indications that we are seeing the economic slowdown. And in fact, today's report, we saw unemployment go up like 0.3%. We have about 6.4 million people unemployed. Thanks to Kane for the numbers you threw at me, brother. We went from 6 to 6.4 million people unemployed. We got claims that are outweighing jobs that are being added in the economy. And that's what they want. Why do these policymakers who have cushy guaranteed government jobs, they got a guaranteed paycheck, why are they so hell-bent on hurting the American people, hurting hardworking Americans, squeezing their pocketbook, the price of fuel is more expensive, and then at the end of the month they find out they don't have any job because, well, you know, they got to slow down the economy. You can slow down inflation. Let me go back. You can slow down inflation by increasing the supply of fuel, thereby decreasing the price of everything that goes to market, because the lifeblood of the American economy is gasoline and it's diesel. There's some other metrics out there that are showing the softening economy. First of all, Rick Santelli was talking about the revision and the GDP numbers. There's another cut from Santelli. Let me share cut two real quick, see what Santelli had to say on the GDP numbers.
The last 2 months are seeing a revision of three digits, minus 110,000, and we know that there has been benchmark revision.
You know, another impressive number that I saw, I think, like 2 days ago. Man, I recall 2 years ago, 24 months ago, it's not that long ago, 24 months ago, I recall almost 11, right? It was on 11 million job openings in the country. And there was another impressive number, how I think it was like 5 or 6 million people that were jumping ship. They were jumping to greener pastures. There were help wanted signs all over the place. That is kind of dwindling as well. The help wanted signs, some of these businesses are starting to remove the help wanted signs. And it's unemployment through attrition. Some of the bigger businesses and the help wanted ads or the job openings quietly are starting to remove that. At the moment, I think it was 3 days ago, the last number was we have less than 9 million job openings right now as compared to almost 11 million just 24 months ago. People jump and ship. It's been cut about half. It's about 3.5 million people that are now jumping ship going to greener pastures. So maybe, just maybe, the Fed is getting the economic slowdown that they want by hurting Americans again, by sending people to the unemployment line again, by hoping that by slowing, get this genius approach that has been used before. This is not exclusive to the Biden administration. This is what has been standard by the Fed. Increase the price of cash make people less, you know, provide some hesitancy in the market, less, make people less prone to borrow money, to purchase homes. Homes have a lot of components to it, lots of jobs to it. You know, from the hammers to the power tools to the wood to the shingles to the cement and the light bulbs. Can you imagine how many different industries, how many assembly lines, how many different jobs are affected by the fact that one home is constructed? Well, decrease that. Decrease the sale of homes, and eventually you hurt the economy, which is, that's the number that we need to see. You know, the last report that I saw on home purchases, previously owned homes are down like 2.5%. New home sales from month to month, and I go, this number's lagging by about 60 days, so I still need to see the July and August report. But the new home sales between June and July, a whopping 17% nationwide. I don't know if it's people sopping up homes left and right because they say, well, let me see here. We're north of 7% for a 30-year fixed rate. We're now at 7.1. We went to 7.3 last week. We're down to 7.1 again. They're afraid that the Fed might raise the price of money one more time. And they say, well, if I'm gonna commit 30 years to purchase a home, 30-year fixed rate mortgage, man, I'm going to buy myself a new home. And part of this is, I was speaking to somebody in the home industry. Some of these big companies, they're cookie cutting and building neighborhoods and really nice homes, $500,000 homes, $400,000, $600,000 homes. They are also financing at a much lower rate than 7%. So part of that might be the special financing in-house. But that number needs to throttle back. The construction of homes needs to throttle back. Again, hurting workers, hurting purchasers, hurting the economy when none of that is needed. Increase the supply, you decrease the price. It's just common sense. But, you know, I've never seen that applied under GW, under Slick Willie, Bill Clinton, definitely not under Obama. Why must the Fed hurt the economy, a.k.a. people? Why must the Fed increase the price of money when they can work through the administration or just throw it back at the administration and say, find a way to decrease the price of fuel so that people have more money, so it's more affordable to send components to market. And as fuel is used in the development of other products, those become more affordable as well. Why not try that instead of hurting people? It's 18 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Again, it's an honor to be with you again. You want to say hi online, you got to use X, as my neighbor here in Brownsville, Texas, Elon Musk, you know, the owner of X, the owner of Twitter. It's at Sergio Talk. This is The Dana Show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
The president has done more to secure the border and to deal with this issue of immigration than anybody else. He really has.
You know, if they provided a Liar of the Year award or Liar of the Century award, equal Corinne Jean-Pierre, the mouth of President Joe Biden, both of them should receive that award. She's out there speaking on his behalf. Welcome to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. It's an honor to be with you on this Friday. Hope you have a very safe, very pleasant Labor Day weekend. I can report to you from The Dana Show Southern Command here in deep South Texas. No, Joe Biden has not done more to secure the border. the polar opposite to that. So this is pretty much standard procedure when it comes to this administration. And Karine Jean-Pierre, anybody speaking on his behalf, whatever they say, whatever she says, just think of 180-degree polar opposite. There you go. That's what the situation is. It hasn't stopped, friend. Sadly, I know that you're working for a living and you're not getting the entire story in a two-minute, three-minute newscast from whatever national network you listen to on talk radio and news radio. You're not getting the full story. There's other stuff to worry about. You've got hurricanes and, you know, economic reports, and, you know, life goes on. And we're at a point now where open border issues, illegal immigration, I say there's fatigue. There's been fatigue on this issue for the longest time because the problem is worse than ever before under Joe Biden. And likely any solution, it's not coming because the U.S. House, the Senate, this everyone's divided on this issue. No, it's polar opposite. What Joe Biden has done in this administration is not do more to secure, but he has done way, way more to open up the border and gloss it, give it a temporary legal sheen by allowing all illegal immigrants, which technically, under Joe Biden, because he's allowing them to work, and my word, game the asylum process. They cross illegally, they cross the border, processed by Border Patrol, and whether they're from Guatemala, Colombia, or Russia, and we're getting from all over the place, even China. They're crossing here at the U.S.-Mexican border, Eagle Pass, El Paso, in Arizona, all the way to San Diego. They're still coming, and if they're coming to America, they're crossing illegally, gaming the asylum system, and immediately when they are allowed to stay as an asylee, well, that has the legal gloss. They're called migrants or immigrants now. That's what Joe Biden has done. So of the 100, 150,000 people that crossed illegally, they are now, air quotes, and let me do really hard air quotes, they're now here legal because they are technically in line to have their case heard at an immigration court. Here, their asylum case heard. Oh, and by the way, these cases won't be heard for years, and at the moment, 6 months after their arrival, guess what? They'll be blended into society. They'll have jobs in New York and Chicago and L.A., all these places. That's 6 months. In fact, the Democrats are trying to change from 6 months down to 1 month, if you didn't know. They're trying to change the law. That is why we say Joe Biden and the Democrats are for open borders. They have twisted everything. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Something to watch, and I suspect Dana, she's going to be talking a lot about this near future. The Biden White House is proposing new regulations to try to eliminate the gun show loophole, as they call it. This rule through ATF would require anyone selling firearms at stores, gun shows, and over the internet to conduct criminal background checks on buyers. Watch it. It's moving through ATF. There'll be public comment on this pretty soon. If you're a merchant selling stuff and accepting Visa and MasterCard, hey, everybody's paying more. We're paying through the nose. Why not? Visa and MasterCard are going to charge more for your customer swiping that card. In fact, the fees would be so much if you take the present volume of transactions. Merchants nationwide, small businesses, big businesses, you guys are going to pay at least $500 million more and these merchant fees. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, reporting to you from South Texas.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
You know, I heard this saying once that every billionaire is a policy failure. Truer words have never been spoken. Billionaires, in my opinion, don't have a right to exist. The very existence of billionaires shows us that we have an economy that is working for the benefit of the few and not the many.
My goodness.
I say the same's true for poverty wages and long hours. We need to wipe them out.
Yeah. Try to wipe that out through socialism, communism, redistribution, and no capitalism. You know who that genius was? That's Sean Fain. He's the leader of the United Auto Workers. Welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Happy Friday to you. And we got a holiday weekend, maybe, hopefully, a long weekend for you. Get a little bit extra sleep, relax, be with family on this Labor Day weekend. Yeah, UAW, Sean Fain with labor. But it saddens me to hear this ignorant mindset. Had it not been for billionaires, had it not been for venture capital investors, people with the money to start businesses, businesses that hire people, businesses that buy stuff and materials and brick and mortar that hire more people. If not for capitalism, if not for billionaires, if not for investors, not even the government gets its paycheck. The government can't pay its bills, can't tax anyone. If there's no wealth, there's no golden goose, you can't tax anyone. I do not understand how people can be so darn ignorant. If a nobody know nothing little radio guy like me in Deep South Texas can understand this, and here in by the way, just sidebar mention, since I'm broadcasting at KURV Radio, Dana Show affiliate here in South Texas. You know, when I started radio 30 years ago, almost 30 years ago, this market was dependent on government paychecks, block grants, food stamps, government programs for kids, and that was pretty much the big paycheck down here. No industry, no jobs, no assembly lines, no energy company, pretty much nothing. In some places, some enclaves, when I started working, and for me, it was a shock because, look, I'm not rich. Never was. I hope to be someday, maybe, Lord willing, get some, you know, Rush Limbaugh dollars, maybe get some, I don't know, Dana Lash dollars someday, Lord willing. But if not, that's fine. God has blessed me. I grew up in, when my dad was blessed enough to take us to Houston, he grew up in Southeast Houston, working man's town. That's where the refiners are at. Fed my ungrateful mouth by working hard and being faithful and determined to succeed in his own way. And there were plenty of jobs, energy jobs, industry jobs. You know, it's Houston, the energy capital of the planet. And there were plenty of jobs. When I moved to South Texas with my very young man, with my young wife, we moved to South Texas. I started this little radio gig down here. 30-some-odd% unemployment, worse in some areas, no industry, just pretty much agriculture. Things are different now because, after all, it is Texas. Amigo, I'm broadcasting to you from the area that Elon Musk decided to set up his star base. He's going to be launching ships into Mars pretty soon. We got liquefied natural gas notes from the energy of Texas, our resources, our treasure, going to be liquefying gas and sending it to other parts of the world. Thousands of jobs. The prosperity and opportunity. We got chip manufacturing on the way, software writing, and hopefully more and more dominoes falling. All these jobs. Unemployment is now, you know, McAllen specifically, where I am here, McAllen, Mission, Edinburgh, 4%, 4-ish%. It's wonderful. But prosperity, opportunity is created through capitalism, not socialism. We have General Motors, we have Ford, we have, they call themselves, what is it? They keep changing their name. Oh, Stellantis, Chrysler, right? The Chrysler brand. We have them because someone invested their life's treasure, took a chance, put in a lot of money for brick and mortar, for invest. Shareholders did the same thing, and that investment has to return to them. And somehow modern unions don't understand that. And it saddens me because they represent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of hardworking Americans who think that, for example, the UAW is out for their best interest, not realizing that they are the poison that could kill the golden goose that's giving them a paycheck and a paycheck for retirement and medical benefits for retirement. Did you know, and I'm so passionate about this right now because I know it's not on your radar. You need to watch it over the next, like immediately after Labor Day weekend. Watch it. The next 2 weeks are going to be key. UAW wants a 40% increase. Last I heard it was a 40% increase in salary for their frontline workers. Okay, fine. Maybe the rich and the billionaires and the millionaires, maybe they got money for that. 40% increase in salary, which would be nice, right? Make up for the 20% inflation from Bidenflation the past 2 years, 20% more. Okay, they can make up some of that and a little more. That's the easy part. These leaders at UAW, Sean Fain and company, they want job guarantees, job protection from the evolution forced by the Biden administration toward electric vehicles. They want to keep their jobs. They want to protect their jobs from that. Yeah, good luck with that. Under this administration, good luck with that. And if they don't get what they want in about 2 weeks, strike, strike, strike. General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, Stellantis, whatever they call themselves these days, how many hundreds of thousands of workers will that be? That does that represent leaving assembly lines and stopping production of vehicles? How many dominoes will fall after that? Dealerships nationwide, GM dealerships, Ford dealerships, Chrysler dealerships, and so on and so forth, without inventory coming to replenish the lots. Sales jobs, ancillary jobs, garage jobs, and then the suppliers that feed everything from seat belts to brake pads to carpet, all these different factories sending up to Detroit and other factories that develop GM, Ford, and Chrysler. All those production lines have to stop. Whether they're coming from Mexico, whether they're coming from Venezuela, wherever they're coming from, they stop because they're not making more cars because UAW wants job protections that cannot be guaranteed. It's amazing. Watch it on the horizon. You talk about an economic earthquake, that's the one to be watching near future. 42 minutes after the hour. This is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana. All right, Steve, are we going to save some people from the hurricane, post-hurricane, or... Okay, very well then. So let me share with you a conversation. I had a ministry I think you should know about, good people that are on the ground right now helping the hurricane victims in the nation's southeast. It's called Convoy of Hope. Go ahead, Steve. Post-Hurricane Idalia recovery efforts among the folks helping out on the ground. Convoy of Hope, Ethan Forhitz is with Convoy of Hope. Tell me about your organization, Ethan.
We're an international faith-based organization that does a lot of things. We feed more than 533,000 kids on school days around the world. We empower women. We teach agriculture to people so they can farm their land and provide food for themselves. And then a big part of what we do is respond following major disasters like the one that we're seeing in Florida. So we're on the ground now in Florida just providing relief supplies, essential relief supplies, food, water, tarps for people, cleaning buckets so they can clean up after flash flooding, all those sorts of things to help them get back on their feet.
So how many folks do you have on the ground? Which areas are you focusing on right now?
We're in Perry, Florida now, which was hard hit, hit by wind. The eye of the storm hit pretty close to Perry.
Yeah.
We are currently down in Steinhatchee right now, which is along the water, and... this is an area that as we're driving through, we can see the water has been everywhere. There's the remnants of the water. Thankfully, it's receded now, and people are beginning to clean up and try to get back on their feet a little bit. Power's still out, and that's going to be one of the big problems going forward for the number of days that it's expected to be out, because it's hot and humid down here in Florida.
Yeah, they're quickly plowing forward to get all the power restored. It was like almost 350 some odd people without power. They're down to 100 some odd thousand people. That's pretty amazing how they quickly turn things around. I mean, I remember I was a kid, Hurricane Alicia. I've been thinking a lot about this the past 2 days, because that was a Cat 3 storm that hit right over Houston, South Houston, Pasadena, Deer Park, downtown Houston. Okay. It made a mess of things back in 1983. We were without power, like for 2-3 weeks in the August sun in Houston. It was awful.
And now, it's terrible. Yeah. And And that's I think one of the things that, that people don't think about when they think about storms and recovering. That's the part that I think is really wearing on people. The longer it goes, you run out of energy, you run out of steam. It's another day. I think right in the days immediately following the disaster, there's a little bit of adrenaline that flows. Okay, we're going to do this. We can clean up. We can do it. And then the longer you go without power and you're in that extreme heat that you're talking about, it wears you down pretty quickly.
Your faith-based group, Convoy of Hope, I know that it's Christian ministry, you boots on the ground, you're actually feeding people, helping people, clothing people. At what point, though, I got to ask you as a believer, at what point can you share faith, or is it just works? Or do you set up, like, let's say this coming Sunday, you put up a tent somewhere, everybody come over to church, and you bring a little organ, and you have like a church service with all the folks that you're helping. How does that work for Convoy of Hope?
Well, our faith is behind everything that we do, so we want to show people the love of Jesus through our works. But we also have tents that are available for prayer. If anybody would like prayer, we're happy to pray with people and talk with them about the spiritual realities that they're facing. But we're happy to pray. But that doesn't mean you have to. Anybody can come and get supplies from us. We're happy to share. But if they ask, we're happy to talk about that as well.
Just curious, who else do you see on the ground helping you out? Red Cross, Samaritan's Purse. Who else is nearby? Some amigos and colleagues.
We have, well, they're a great organization to all over Florida, and it's a big state with a wide swath of this hurricane that went through. So we haven't seen any where we currently are. There's this great group, I don't know the name of them, they're a small group, but they're out where we are at the church making food for people and just handing it out, hot meals, which is great because we got that breakfast this morning, which is fantastic.
It's called the Salvation Army.
It's just Southern Hospitality.
Oh, okay,
it's amazing.
All right. Yeah, because they got the. You said food. I said ding, 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 ding. Food. Oh yeah, it's a food truck from the Salvation. They're on the ground too. I'm sure everywhere trying to.
Oh yeah, they're great organizations all over the state.
How do folks help you? Convoy of Hope website. Maybe give a donation and help the effort. I mean, you guys helping all these families out there.
Yeah, you know what we're able to do through our great partnerships with corporations and our transportation means? We're able to take your $1 donation and stretch it into at least $5 and get the product where it needs to go. So that's something we work hard on. More than 91 cents of every dollar goes where the donor wants it to go.
Excellent.
If you look at Charity Navigator and look us up, for the last 18 plus years, we've been a highest rated 4 out of 4 star charity. So we work really hard to be good stewards.
Excellent work, brother. Excellent work. Yeah. Charity Navigator is a great site. Go look at. Just sidebar mention. Again, I'm speaking with Ethan Foreheads. He's with Convoy of Hope. 91 cents on the dollar donated goes to meet the need that they are focusing on, that they're dealing with, they're looking at one-on-one. Just sidebar mention, Ethan. That's one of the reasons for brethren down the street, like the Salvation Army. That's why I love them too. And I've been sold on them for the long time, because like 88, 87, 89 cents, depending on the office, up to 90 cents sometimes on the dollar. Same thing.
Sure.
They get the dollar and meet the need. And so Charity Navigator, people, Charity Navigator, you giving money to any all nonprofit organization, they'll tell you how much of your dollar is going to the actual need or the cause that you're hoping to benefit. It'd be eye-opening if you go visit that Charity Navigator. Hey, I'll give you the final thought, Ethan. I know you guys are busy right now helping out folks in several states.
You know, we're grateful for you and sharing this with your listening audience and for people across the United States who turn to Convoy of Hope when something like this happens. They know they can trust us. So one of the things that we always see during these sorts of events in the aftermath is the big hearts of Americans who want to join together and to help their fellow man. It's heartwarming to see, because sometimes we get bogged down in the politics of everyday life and it feels like we hate our neighbor. But that is not true in this country. We love our neighbor, and we want what's best for them. So we're willing to jump in, roll up our sleeves, sweat a little bit down here in Florida, and make it happen.
All right, friend. Blessings to you and all the crew helping out with all those families, meeting the need. That's Ethan Foreheads. Look for his organization, Convoy of Hope. That's Convoy of Hope. 11 minutes to the hour. This is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my dear friend Dana Lash. If you want to say hi online, go to X and Twitter, at Sergio Talk. Happy Friday to you. Happy holiday weekend, and be safe this Labor Day weekend. Reporting to you from South Texas, the Dana Show, Southern Command. This is the Dana Show.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
And one of the other things I've been asking the Congress for is we need about $15 billion along the border to be able to deal with the technology needed to be able to determine whether or not these precursor drugs are making it into Mexico or into the United States, and dealing with that. So there's more to do there.
And speaking of drugs, Joe Biden focusing on what, the illegal narcotics, pretty much it. The border is overrun with people crossing, Mr. President, hoping to get in here for free and stay here legally / illegally, get a job here and just blend into the rest of society and force future lawmakers up in D.C. to deal with what could possibly be at the end of his administration. Could possibly be anywhere between 5-6+ million illegal immigrants in line on the asylum line that are would be working, by the way. You know, securing the border is not the objective. Mr. Biden, we spent billions and billions of dollars already on technology that works. It's called the wall, and have provided billions and billions of dollars of technology to Border Patrol for cameras, for vehicles, for boats, for drones, whatever's necessary to detect that traffic, catch it, and send it back. We have a multi-billion dollar budget for law enforcement that is not being used to enforce the law on the border. It's, you know, it would be funny if it wasn't just so maddening and ridiculous what's taking place under this administration. And something to remember, and I hope something that your family and friends remember when it's time to vote come November 24. If he makes it on the ballot by then. I'm in the camp that says I don't think he's going to be there. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show, broadcasting from her Southern Command here in South Texas, the new studios of KURV here in South Texas. Check this out. Speaking of my neighbor, Elon Musk, here in Brownsville at the spaceport, the Starbase, there's a new biography on Elon. It says that his transgender daughter is a communist. It's an excerpt from an upcoming biography. Wall Street Journal had a write-up on this recently. It says that Elon Musk's relationship with his 19-year-old child, who changed his gender to female last year, also changed name, a court filing saying one no longer wished to be related to Elon Musk. And in the book, Elon Musk says his daughter is a full communist who thinks that anyone rich is evil. That sounded familiar to, you know, if you were tuning in to the Dana Show about 30 minutes ago, we had the UAW president. He said something similar, right? Get rid of all the billionaires. Billionaires is proof that the system is broken. Billionaires is the reason you have a job, dude. Elon Musk's son / daughter. Anyone rich is evil. Obviously has not had the full experience when it comes to tyrannical government, oppressive government, heavy-handed government. Oh, and Elon Musk, it looks like the private education, that whoever sought the private education for this son / daughter, Elon says, the politics, the communism, yeah, that all came from the private school that his child attended. Just something to think about before you enroll in major Ivy League universities, you know. This is the Dana Show, coming at you from South Texas.
And let's remember, this isn't just Speaker McConnell. I mean, obviously, we have great concern for him. We have, you know, the senator from California. We have our own president who has had issues. Obviously, age is playing a role in Washington right now, and not in a positive way, unfortunately. And so there's just an opportunity here to say, OK, you know, no hard feelings. It's a health. It's age. You know, we got to move you out of a leadership position, bring kind of a new generation, another voice in. There's lots of folks that can do these jobs.
The voice of Governor Chris Sununu, New Hampshire, and the topic that's been raging all week, thanks to Senator McConnell, it reminding us of how old and just sad-looking. I'm trying to be polite when it comes to Senator Feinstein being wheeled around in a wheelchair. I mean, it is. It's like death warmed over. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but wow, it's just amazing what the voters have provided. Yeah, we, the people, have provided as far as representation up in Washington. And yes, of course, Joe Biden and the embarrassment that he is. They belong in a nursing home. That's where they belong right now. Or with family taking care of them. Doesn't have to be a nursing home, but if, you know, they can take care of them, so be it. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and you're listening to The Dana Show from her Southern Command at the studios of KURV Radio in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. Always an honor to be with you today. Yeah, this whole issue of how frail and weak, advanced in age, leading to term limits debates again. I don't believe we will see them, the term limits, because as far as Washington, we would need a constitutional amendment or something like that. I don't advocate for term limits. What we have at the moment is a system that is failing because we, the people, have decided that it should fail. It's been maybe a couple of generations, maybe in your family, you're completely disconnected, disenchanted, and as a result, disenfranchised when it comes to representation in Washington. The government that we have, it's not perfect. It's the best system that we have so far. It's government by committee for everything. How we spend, forget our money, forget the trillions that we send to Washington, or our grandkids and great-grandkids, children's, their money. It's taxation without representation. The system, we could argue it is broken. It's like a plane headed full throttle into the side of a mountain. It's a house of cards when it comes to this policy that has amassed 30-some-odd trillion dollars and counting, and with no hope of turning around. Open borders, no emphasis on America being first, funding wars overseas. You can name it over and over. And I think one of the most dangerous things that we have at the moment is the fact that in the executive office, we do not have a chief executive that can make a decision on the fly to benefit, to protect the American people. Joe Biden, he's not all there. We know that. Mitch McConnell, who thrust this issue to the forefront for everybody's been talking about this online, even people that don't follow media or follow the news. I see some comments on the ancillary sites, Instagram, people commenting on Facebook, other sites, getting traffic on, you know, I don't have a TikTok account, but you see people posting commentary on that and posting silly memes and videos, all related to Mitch McConnell, all related to Joe Biden. We know the lights are on, but nobody's home when it comes to Joe Biden, and definitely when it comes to Mitch McConnell. I don't know what, they're definitely well into their 80s, both of these two, Joe Biden and Mitch McConnell. Good friends, they say, these two. And Dianne Feinstein, she's like well up there, like close to 90 already. Competency is the issue. And we won't see a constitutional amendment demanding some type of competency test either, because you don't have to be that old in order to publicly show that you may not have what it takes in order to get the job done. I'm thinking Senator Fetterman out of Pennsylvania. Whose fault is it that we have Fetterman in Pennsylvania who you can question, does he have it all there? Is he capable of making these decisions, communicating his policy ideas, debating, brainstorming? How much leadership can he provide? Or is he just a meat puppet, but somebody else has the strings. Like, we all know it's with Joe Biden. Somebody else is running the show with Joe Biden. Mitch McConnell, Lord help him, Senator Mitch, the staff surrounding Senator Mitch, it's time to hang it up. Dianne Feinstein, we're well over time hanging those gloves up with Senator Feinstein. I mean, Senator Feinstein, in her 90s pretty much already, right? She's like 89, 90, or maybe she was already over 90. Check that real quick, Freddie, what her age. Senator Feinstein, her financial decisions, the bills that she has to pay, whatever she's doing, her daughter has, last I heard, her daughter has power of attorney decision-making over Senator Feinstein as a human being. As a senator, she's wheeled in to the U.S. Senate to still have a vote, a powerful vote from California on policy that's being drafted and being debated in Washington. No, that's beyond wrong. Senator Fetterman out in Pennsylvania. I don't know if he's all there understanding what needs to be done and properly debate and properly ask questions about what's being debated up in Washington. And competency, how to evaluate competence, that's just the first problem that we have. We've had for the longest time, for generations now, representation up in Washington, D.C., in the U.S. House and U.S. Senate, that doesn't understand what liberty is, what liberty means, what the Constitution says about trying to preserve our liberty versus all-powerful, heavy-handed, expanded government in our lives. They don't understand the Constitution. I would bet good money that the so-called representatives up in Washington, D.C., the senators, they probably couldn't even pass a citizenship test. People that legally come to this country and patiently wait their turn and pay their dues and fees to attorneys and the State Department. You know, those people have to take the citizenship test when it opens up for them to naturalize as U.S. citizens, that test. I bet you, man, I bet good money that the majority of folks in Congress, they probably would all be Democrats, they can't pass that citizenship test. What we need in Washington, what we've needed for the longest time, not only Washington, but I bet you in the military. I want service members, I want politicians of all locations, local, state, national, understand the Constitution that they swear to protect and defend from enemies, foreign and domestic. We need a Constitution refresher. Yes, we do need a competency test. Will it happen? No. Heck no. I think the one who had the best quote on this, Nikki Haley. That's right. Here it is. Nikki Haley. The U.S. Senate is a privileged nursing home, she said, after Mitch McConnell was seen doing that freeze thing that I refer to it as the glitch in the matrix moment, the second glitch in the matrix moment for Mitch McConnell. I hope he's okay. I know he had a fall back in May. The first incident was like back in July when he froze. He couldn't answer the question. And ironically, the second go-around, just a few days back, somebody was asking him, Senator, you running for office? You running for re-election in 2026? And of course, the silence, the sound of silence, the sound, if the sound of a no, but the silent form of it in a no. 14 minutes after the hour, the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana. State of Texas is conservative, right? We love limited government in the state of Texas. Living here in Texas, I love Texas, don't get me wrong. I just find it comical that here in the state of Texas today, being September 1st, 778, I think. New laws kicked in today, September 1st, kicked in today in the state of Texas. That's the way we structure the government in the Republic of Texas. Our legislature meets every 2 years, and that's probably the problem. We meet every 2 years, and when we do, we got to pass the budget and all sorts of reforms and laws, and that's why we get a big number. So September 1st today, we had 770-some-odd new laws, but one of them in particular that stands out among several, like there's about a handful of them that really stand out to me. Texas doing it right, joining, I do believe it's like 20 other states in the nation that make it illegal for children's genitals to be mutilated by parents who are confused or willfully ignorant, who are lost, by academics, so-called mental health experts, so-called doctors, who encourage these parents to classify their children as trans children. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as trans children. It's amazing how ridiculous the arguments are today. Here in Texas, no more. New Texas law that kicked in today, and there was a fight in court back and forth. The high court in Texas said, hands off, this thing's going to go through. Texas law that prohibits any snip, snip, cut, cut, add-on, reshape of a child's genitals. Transgender surgery is illegal for children starting today. They call them hormone blockers. I refer to them as castrating these kids. That's illegal as well. It's so sad that lawmakers have to stand in the gap to push back against lunacy, all this radical behavior that is hurting children. Surgeries, hormone blockers in Texas, that is wrong. And this new Texas law prevents parents in Texas from subjecting their kids, their minor age kids, to these genital surgeries and these hormone blockers. Way to go, Texas. And several other states that are moving in this direction. Push back against this ignorance. Push back against this evil. It's more than just ignorance. It's just downright evil. Now, and some of the other laws related to this whole gender back and forth, this tug of war that we've been in. In the state of Texas, you'll be happy to know that biological boys, starting today, no, you cannot compete against biological girls. This whole argument about, you know, kids, they cook differently. Boys, physically, they're stronger. That's the way it is. The hormones, body structure, muscle mass, bone structure, height, strength, it's all there. Upper body strength, it's all there. It's called biology, a.k.a. science. In the state of Texas, thanks to lawmakers, boys, biological boys starting today, cannot compete against biological girls. Congratulations. Thank you for standing up for women's sports and girls' sports in the state of Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show, broadcasting today from her Southern Command, the KURV studios in the Rio Grande Valley at Texas. It's 18 minutes after the hour. You want to say hello online, you got to do the Twitter thing, X thing, at Sergio Talk. This is The Dana Show.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
But when the governor of New York came by to discuss a very urgent matter in the state of New York and across the country, a lot of big cities, he did not meet with her. Why not?
Well, look, as you just stated, there's a lot going on, and his chief of staff was part of that meeting. I believe Secretary Mayorkas was part of that meeting. Some of his very high-level senior staff participated in the meeting with the governor, which is, as you said, a very important meeting to have. He has a very good relationship with the governor. We've been, every time we're in New York, the president, in practically every time, the president engages with the governor. So they have a very good relationship. Look, the president has a lot of it on his plate. As you said, this is an important important issue as well. But when you have the chief of staff, when you have the secretary of Homeland Security there meeting with the governor, I think that shows how important the president thought this meeting was to make sure.
Yeah. Okay. So how'd you solve? What came out of all these meetings? There's meeting. Okay. Time for lunch. Let's more meeting. Time for dinner. Hey, let's meet tomorrow. Meet again. Time for lunch. Meet again. Time for dinner. Hey, you want meet again? Hey, what do you want to eat tomorrow? Meeting again. Lunch. Talk. Nothing. Nothing ever gets done. Goodness. Yeah, you recognize. I don't have to remind KJP. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show. We're reporting to you from her Southern Command, her affiliate studios, KURV in South Texas. You want to say hi online, it's at Sergio Talk. Hey, stick around because I have a very educational conversation with someone who's developing a new vaccine against COVID. Now, hang on a sec. Now, don't run now because I just said the words that probably scare you away. COVID and vaccine. Oh, hell no. Look, it's non-mRNA vaccine. They have been taking their time. All the way back to COVID, they fired up work on this thing. Non-mRNA vaccine technology. And they've been taking their time, slowly plodding forward with clinical trials. In fact, they are entering advanced clinical trials. And if everything continues to work out fine, well, maybe you'll have something that is an alternative to the controversial mRNA technology that is out there. If it's a vaccine, you don't want to touch it. You don't want to touch it. That's fine. But as always, vaccines should be voluntary. Maybe you all know somebody who's compromising their immune system, suffering from cancer. You know, the clinical trials that are being conducted focus on people that are immune compromised, like cancer patients and other people. Those are the study groups. Those are the human groups that they're working with right now, slowly trying to gather that data, making sure there are no negative side effects Did I tell you it was non-mRNA technology, that vaccine? Yeah, that conversation coming up. David Dodd from GeoVax coming up in just a little bit. So stick around. This is The Dana Show with some headlines. Go ahead, Steve-O.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I had mentioned that today, September 1st, 700-some-odd new laws kick in for Texas. Among the more interesting ones, starting today, hospitals in Texas must provide more advanced notice to families. They intend to tell the families that they intend to remove that loved one, that patient, from life support. There's no response there. So Texas lawmakers have passed legislation requiring all hospitals in the state that plan to end what they have termed futile care. They need to give the family 25 days advance notice that they're going to pull the plug. I don't mean to sound insensitive, but that's what it is, compared to the present 10 days. And, well, staying in Texas, you want to survive the zombie apocalypse? Somebody ran a study on this. They said that Houston, number one, San Antonio, number three, best places to survive the zombie apocalypse. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
How much responsibility do you think the power company bears here for the fire? It's a very good question. 2 days in, which was on the 10th, I asked my attorney general, instructed her to do a comprehensive investigation. So she's doing that right now. She's brought an outside investigator in from the mainland that has fire expertise. She's going to find out exactly how much. We do know that that early fire was sparked, as Hiko said. I don't want to jump to conclusions just because I don't think it's fair for me to do that. But we will hold everyone accountable 100%, and we'll be very transparent about it. We'll release all the reports.
Yeah, latest on the deadly wildfire in Hawaii, and they're still sifting and doing DNA analysis. What was the last number? 115 dead in Hawaii. You know what I find mind-blowing is that to this day, they still don't know the spark that started everything. That's just incredible. That's Hawaiian Governor Josh Green commenting on the latest on the wildfires and holding everybody accountable. Yeah. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show coming at you from South Texas. Thank you, Dana, for the call. Love you, my friend. Everything from shutting off the water to roadblocks to no alarms going on. Government inefficiency, government incompetence, heartless incompetence, I would say, in this case. Yeah, we're now depending on the government to do the proper investigation after it's becoming very clear, quite evident to everybody. It was the government that was the problem. Always is, it seems, right? Always is. Government not here to make things better. Government always makes things worse. And it was possibly numbskulls, deaf, completely tone-deaf individuals when you had people closer to the coast begging for water delivery, water being shut off for whatever reason, whatever policy, whatever silly bureaucratic edict, not delivering the water to people who needed to fight the fires. Roadblocks, reports of roadblocks, people not being able to leave areas that were under threat of these flames that are quickly approaching them. Hurricane speed. That's right. It was hurricane force winds that made the whole thing a mess. I'm not expecting anything good to come of it. What I say, I'm not expecting anything good to come from this. I'm not expecting anyone to get fired or prosecuted for this criminal behavior, because the swamp will protect itself, whether it's Washington, D.C., or if it's a governmental structure in, for example, the state of Hawaii, and all these people who know each other and protect each other and cover for each other and maybe force people, at best, force some people into retirement, get a hold of their pension. 37 minutes after the hour, this is The Dana Show. More on Texas legislation kicked in today that has made national news. Here in the state of Texas, one of the 770-some-odd laws that kicked in, well, this one was supposed to kick in because, again, the leftists, the radicals who do not see porn, do not see pornography, when they look at it, do you remember that excuse, that judgment by the high court, what, a generation ago? Like, the fight on what is pornographic versus what is art? I think the final edict, or the most, one of those famous edicts was, I can't tell you what pornography is, but I know it when I see it. That that has carried us for a generation now, and is really going to be put to the test. Here in Texas, it's called Senate Bill 12, and it's the drag shows that were all in the news on social media. I know that you saw them, and they were... I'm trying to be delicate the way I say this. Because if you haven't seen it, I think you will when I describe it to you. Men who have transformed themselves into curvaceous, round, in certain areas, women, they've got little transplants for bubble butts and wearing a G-string. Or walking around with little children, little kids, little babies, just walking around with bubble butt with G-strings, high heels. It's a man. And exposed fake breasts that have been implanted, like the type, you know, you would see in, as far as implants, pornography, whatever. And the only thing covering the nipple, the surgically implanted nipple, a pasty, like, right? Well, that's for adults. You want to live your life like that, that's fine. You got one life to live and enjoy it the way you see it, see fit. And don't forget, you're going to live forever. Now, answer me this, where are you going to wind up living? But look, and people are free to do, express whatever they want as adults. But with children in Texas, they push back. And I thank God for Texas, because in Texas, we push back against stuff like this. I hope that the law was drafted specific enough to target these pornographic, I hope they use that word, pornographic drag shows. I hope it's in there. And the reason I say this is because the high court, last high court ruling on this, on what is pornography, what is art, what is the difference between a naked female body and certain acts that are being done, and let's say historic pieces of art, nude, Rubenesque women, those classical pieces of art from years ago. So what's the difference between that? High court said, I can't tell you, but I know when I see it. So that's the same thing here. How is it that some individuals don't see pornography? Inappropriate exposure of pornographic behavior and expressions in front of children. And why is it that some of these individuals, these drag queens, they fight to provide that to children? So if that is right, and some of these parents who take these babies to these drag shows where bubble butts exposed, breasts exposed with pasties, these are men that are dancing around and spreading their legs and all that stuff, then if that is appropriate for children, why is not taking children to gentlemen's clubs appropriate? Why is it that you can't take little Johnny, little Susie to an adult, you know, bookstore, quote unquote, a pornographic shop? 19 minutes to the hour. This is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for Dana today, broadcasting to you from South Texas. As I promised you earlier, some new technology out there for the most vulnerable when it comes to COVID and other upper respiratory diseases, but specifically to COVID, there is new non-mRNA technology, vaccine technology, that's being developed. This is information you need to know. Go ahead, Steve-O. If you listen carefully to the news, you'll notice a smattering of reports, uptick in COVID positive tests coming up, maybe a few schools here and there expressing concern, their staff, their kids. They've got upper respiratory infections. They've got COVID. They've got flu. They've got RSV. They even got strep throat. Hey, can you tell kids are back in school? That's likely why we see an uptick in some of the COVID numbers. Let me go to a friend that we made during the COVID season. He was fighting COVID-19 with the development of his own brand of vaccine and treatment. David Dodd from GeoVax. It's been a while, Dave, since we've spoken. And I think that's a good thing, because we had, COVID kind of disappeared from the headlines. It's coming back just a little bit right now. Tell folks about your GeoVax effort to fight COVID, prevent COVID. Tell me about your vaccine effort.
Sure, and thank you. And it's good to be back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, GeoVax has three phase 2 clinical programs. We've never slowed down. We have a next generation vaccine. It appears to be involved with this recently announced White House initiative. They call it the Next Gen. Project Next Gen is looking for COVID-19 vaccines that are more robust, or broader protection, more durable, so you don't have to keep getting boosters. And most importantly, it's now well recognized that the vast majority of individuals are not at high risk for COVID. Those that are people with compromised immune systems. These are individuals that may have various blood cancers, they may have sickle cell anemia, renal disease, et cetera, about 15 million, frankly, in the United States. And their bodies are depleted from their ability to respond to an antibody stimulation, which is what you receive from the currently authorized vaccines or the monoclonal antibody therapy. So you have 15 million people out there, the highest risk groups, but the current vaccines and the current therapies are inadequate for them. So the White House recently announced a $5 billion program for those, and we're right in the middle of that. We have three phase two clinical trials among individuals with compromised immune systems, various blood cancers, stem cell transplant patients, chronic lymphocytic leukemia patients. So we're right into there, and we recognize that it's not going away. Variants are going to continue to emerge. And in fact, our vaccine has shown that it protects from the original Wuhan strain all the way through the most, well, not the most recent, but the most recent XB1.5 variant that everybody was running around about a month ago concerned about. And we've been able to demonstrate that our vaccine, without any modifications, continues to provide protection. So we're quite excited about
it. From GeoVax, David Dodd, he's been working on a vaccine. They're at clinical trial stage, and they're still working these studies patiently and methodically. How is your vaccine? Can you compare it to the mRNA stuff that's out there right now that's popular? Is it similar? Is it different? Can you describe it?
Totally different. The mRNA vaccine is a new technology, and it focuses primarily on inducing a strong antibody protection. That's what's important in the initial stages of a viral infection. However, what is needed to be able to reduce severity, hospitalization, and potential mortality is to address the T cells or the cellular immunity. And unfortunately, the mRNA vaccine does not do much against the T cell system. Ours, we've recently presented data at the World Vaccine Congress in direct comparison to the mRNA vaccine. Ours shows significant, strong inducement of T cell as well as antibody response. And we believe that's the advantage that will give us a more robust protection and a more durable protection, because T cells drive memory or durability. And our vaccine has been shown to basically be conserved, meaning it's not depleted when it goes against variants all the way from the original Wuhan strain through the latest Omicron. So we're quite excited about
it. Since you've had extra time now to patiently and methodically, as I said, to develop this vaccine, have you discovered any side effects? You know how it is with the mRNA stuff and how people are suspicious, and they give it the evil lie and say, hey, we got some heart issues with young people on this stuff. Are there any side effects? And your completely different vaccine that you care to share?
Yeah, our technology, the basis of our vaccine is a technology that was actually developed around the late 1960s. It was developed specifically to be the smallpox vaccine for people with compromised immune systems. So it has to be exquisitely safe, because these are individuals who could not tolerate. Their bodies were so depleted from immune protection that it had to be able to protect them and yet be able to provide the protection. So protect them from having side effects, but provide them the protection against smallpox. And it's also now monkeypox. So it's recognized for being extremely safe
and
for people for a long time.
Dave, I have seconds, and I got to go. Real quick, 10 seconds. How much longer are you going to be in clinical trials before you're released to market?
Well, we have three. We really don't know. We're going to go into discussions within the next year with regulatory authorities about expedited pathway among certain patient groups that have the compromised immune system. So we're looking for the opportunity to see it go in sooner rather than later. And that'll come out of the negotiations and discussions that we have. But the data will be coming out in less than a year on some of our trials that will give us that basis for discussion.
Take your time. Make sure you do it right the first time. The other time we were panicking and looking for anything to try to, to fix this thing. Thank you, David. David Dodd from GeoVax. Got about 10 minutes left in the hour. You're in tune with The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for Dana. You know, one of the things that I enjoy on the weekend when I'm, you know, washing my little dude's breathing equipment and other medical equipment, I put in my headphones and I listen to Dana in the podcast form. Producer Steve and all the gang, they do a good job of condensing all the interviews, all the audio, all the news into one capsule. It's about an hour, 40 minutes, and you catch up day after day after day. So look for all the different platforms that carry podcasts. Look for The Dana Show. Thanks for joining us on this Labor Day weekend, Friday edition of The Dana Show from South Texas.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
The Dana Show coming at you from South Texas. Appreciate you being with us today. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show for a Labor Day weekend Friday. Safe travels to you if you're headed out to go see family and friends. Yeah, I know gas is real expensive. Airplane tickets are real expensive. You know, despite that, got about 14 million people plus going to the airports. And we got to go see family, got to see friends, right? Hey, just a quick, you know, we're going to connect back to the whole vaccine thing we were talking about just a minute back. You know, thanks to COVID, and as a result, the now seems to be a natural distrust of all things heavy-handed government, everything from the mask mandates to the vaccine mandates. Man, I hope that you don't forget come election time, and I hope that you remind your friends and family, who was it? Who was the chief executive that demanded mandatory vaccines in all industry, in all businesses, everybody, and failed miserably in court? Knew he was going to fail, but did it anyway, wanted it anyway, put that iron glove on, and bam, I'm going to do this. Let's see what happens in court. Of course, he was shot down. And eventually, Joe Biden was only able to work with anybody that gets a government check, Medicare, Medicaid, you know, medical institutions, and eventually the ones that got really hurt, our military, who answered directly to the commander-in-chief. He said, you must get the prick. You must get the COVID vaccine or else. And we lost, or what was that, 8-9%, something like that, of our frontline military. How many individuals refused to enlist with the military as a result of the Joe Biden mandate, the mandatory vaccine across the military? It hurt them and their careers. It hurt our nation, our readiness, our military. That was Joe Biden. Don't forget that. And because of all this heavy-handedness and stupidity on the part of the federal government, on the part of Joe Biden, Dr. Fauci, and all these other people, now all this has led to vaccine hesitancy for pets. I wonder if you saw that report earlier this week. Precious Pooch. The majority of pet owners, they don't want a vaccine for their pooch. Because, you know, vaccine hesitancy, thanks to COVID, thanks to the government and heavy-handed policies. All I know is you better get your pooch that rabies shot. That's necessary. I don't want some crazy chihuahua coming at me that's rabid. All right, Steve, well, let's do some Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, there's just some things that you don't say to women. There's some things you don't say to men. And, you know, everybody's got to control themselves, control their reaction, control their anger, and, you know, hold back. But this story out of Florida, of course, a 30-year-old guy out of Florida, arrested recently for attacking his ex after she mocked what hurts the most, mocked the size of the manhood. And according to the report, Rashad McGiff, arrested, he punched and choked his ex-girlfriend and mother of three children. All very nice, very nice. Way to go, Dan. The attack came after the woman had texted him a picture of someone else's junk. Way to go, Mom. Some people should not bring kids into the world. I'm Sergio Sanchez from South Texas. This is The Dana Show.
I don't want them there. Take them someplace else or send them back to Venezuela. I don't care where they go. This is wrong. You got 73% of the people homeless in this city are black people. What have you done for them?
were lots of fireworks over the migrants moving into the Lakeshore Hotel for 6 months, where 300 can be housed. Also, the city says it's a fluid situation, and it will need to revisit that timeline.
Wow. Always a good replay that. That audio at the beginning. You heard it clearly. I don't want them here. You send them back to Venezuela, wherever they came from. I don't want. Wow. You know, for being a very progressive city, that's Chicago, Illinois, by the way. Very progressive. You know, they got some great gun laws there that seem to be working wonderfully. They're having to take in these illegal immigrants. Oh, I'm sorry. It's migrants. Thanks to Joe Biden, we now kind of have to call them migrants because, well, they crossed illegally. But he classified them legal because they're now seeking asylum. Oh, and you heard that news report from Chicago said they're going to be housed at this specific hotel. The people are reacting and pushing back. They're going to be housed at the hotel for 6 months. Why 6 months? Why 6 months? Well, if you're listening in the first hour, I told you, if you're in the asylum line, which I mean right now that we have like 2-3 million people in the asylum line, probably more by now. And this going back to several administrations, by the way, people working the asylum, especially during Obama. And Obama, we really inflated those numbers as far as people in the asylum line. We got millions in the asylum line. You claim asylum, you're allowed to stay here to process your asylum claim. In 6 months, you're working. In 6 months, you got a worker's permit. You're out there somewhere with low skill, low English, whatever it is that you can do with your hands. You're out there working, taking American jobs. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show. Thank you, Dana, for the call. Big hug to you, my friend. I hope you get some rest. The Dana Show coming to you from the studios of KURV Radio, faithful affiliate here in South Texas. Well, from one housing situation, apartment situation, homeless situation, you won't believe what's taking place in L.A. City Hall. Actually, you will, because after all, it is L.A., right? California. You know what's so sad about this, reflecting on the story that I'm about to tell you. You know, people moving, folks with common sense, folks with expertise, folks with businesses, folks who prefer liberty in all its forms, whether it's Second Amendment, whether it's low taxation, low regulation, less government intrusion, all those things, more affordable living. All these folks leaving California, they're coming to Texas, going to Florida, going to other places. As they leave, there's a brain drain. There's a brain cell drain that's taking place, and it's negatively affecting California. It's like a vicious cycle down the drain. Just and that's what California is, and their population, and whatever is left that has no common sense. All these people have no common sense, and if they made a mistake in voting over regulation. In California, in Los Angeles, they made a mistake a long time ago voting in clowns, who wanted to control everything from Sacramento, their capital, over to cities like L.A. They voted them in. And because you got all these so-called progressive policies, overregulation that just creates a hyperinflation in the housing market, construction. You can't build here. You can't build there. Over there, we got to preserve some precious little cow chigger over here so you can't build over there. Whatever, for environmental reasons, for protection reasons of gnats and snails and animals, whatever. California is the model of governmental failure, overregulation. So people who've had enough, they're leaving, they're taking their money, their profession, their businesses, going to Florida, going to Texas, going to the South, going somewhere else other than Florida. And with them, they take their brain power. So it's a vicious cycle. It's like the people who stay there are even more stupid. And the people that were put in City Hall and in Sacramento state government, they're even, it's worse. From L.A., California, this is amazing. There's a ballot measure. It's going to be put on the ballot next March, I think, is the date. Ballot measure that would require all hotels and motels in L.A., any vacant room that is not booked, will be used for the homeless, will be rented by the homeless. Who's going to rent it? Who else? The hardworking people of L.A. who voted stupidly to send stupid people to City Hall or to Sacramento. These geniuses, they're going to take their tax money, create a fund, and pay for all vacant rooms all over L.A. to put all homeless people in there. People have been pushing back mightily on this. I'm watching this one with fascination and interest. Hotel, motel owners, managers, they're pushing back and saying, are you crazy? Of course they are. The politicians voted in by other crazies. It's California. That means that managers and hotel owners, they would need to become cops and respond to homeless people. But why are they homeless to begin with? Who are the homeless to begin with? Yes, there are some families. There are some folks that got T-boned by life. It's a bad situation for them. I think, for example, City Hall in L.A. needs to work with churches. Like I scream at the top of my lungs every now and then, like, where's the church? Well, there's plenty of mega churches. There's plenty of money in churches all over the place. People who pretend and say that they're Christians, they got big coffers, big bank accounts of the big mega churches. City Hall needs to go door knock and say, can you help us, please? Much like the only shelter that we have in the area, the Salvation Army, for example. Salvation Army does a great job in setting up shelters. Yes, there's rules that need to be followed. Families who need a place to sleep overnight with their families, with their kids, they will accept the rules and they will stay there to protect their families so they don't live in a car, don't live in the streets. Salvation Army does an awesome job all over the world. But we need more than just the Salvation Army. There's plenty of money in the coffers of everything from the Roman Catholic Church parishes all over the place in the diocese to independent churches, different ministries from Baptist Assemblies of God, all these independent churches. And the mega churches, they're flush with cash, millions of dollars. City Hall needs to think outside the box. They're not the solution. Government is not the solution. And when they finally have that epiphany and realize that they need to go to the church, go door knocking, say, can you please help us, kind of like the Salvation Army is doing? Can we work with you to find a place for these folks to stay, maybe develop some type of shelter within your, you know, quote-unquote ministry? Let me get off the soapbox. See, not all the people who are homeless are families, you know, parents with kids or a mom with kids or, let's say, a battered woman who's running from an abusive situation. Yeah, all those situations are real. And for those situations, there are many organizations that help battered women and women who are running from violence with their children in the middle of the night. They already exist. This proposal in L.A. This has been used. They use these folks, these victims, these domestic violence victims. They even use college students. Right now they're using college students who might not have enough money to make rent at the end of the month. They're afraid that they might be kicked out if they don't go back with mama and papa, which they should do to begin with, because family is responsible first. They're afraid, well, we don't want them sleeping in cars. We don't want them losing. They need to negotiate with a landlord their rent and late payment, and they need to discipline themselves, and it's called personal responsibility. They need to discipline themselves and what they spend money on. No more tattoos, no more video games, no more video game consoles, no more flat screen televisions, no more extra partying, no more blowing all this cash that you worked for. You got to pay the rent first. That's something that, as mush heads, young people, they need to learn. They need to live first. They need to feel a bit of pain. But it's not college students, it's not domestic violence victims, the ones that are being put forward by the advocates of this crazy proposal, this ordinance that is being proposed in L.A. All hotel rooms, all motel rooms, all businesses that provide lodging. This is step one. You see, I was looking for the deeper dive on this write-up, because if they're starting with hotels and motels, what prevents Los Angeles going after an Airbnb or one of those? I know it's Airbnb and there's other sites. I'm sorry, I haven't used any of them, but you know what I'm talking about. There's like online, these apps, and people who put up their homes or vacation homes, people come in and they rent them just like a hotel. Are they next? If voters say yes to this, they're stupid enough in LA to approve something like this. Sadly, a big chunk, I'm not going to say the majority, but there's a huge chunk of folks who are homeless living in tent cities in L.A. And it, by the way, sidebar, it is so sad. It breaks my heart. Major American cities, all the big ones, Philly, Boston, Miami, Houston, Dallas, everybody, California cities. We got 10 cities all over the place. What's happening to America? We're losing our country. We've been losing it for some time now. It's time to get right. It's time for the church to stand up. It's do its freaking job. Because first, it's family. Family needs to step up. Take care of fellow family. The church needs to step in. Government should be the last resort, but it never is. It always seems to be the first resort. Now, in L.A., they want to do away with 10 cities by forcing motel and hotel owners to open up all their empty rooms because the city will pay for an empty room and put someone in there living, sleeping on the street. Ooh, my goodness. When I saw this, my mind went crazy because when I travel with my wife and babies, I do a lot of road travel in the family van, because we prefer that over the airlines because Elam, my little one, has cystic fibrosis. I don't want him exposed to all that dirty air in the plane. And it's just, you know, safer. I arrive 9:30, 10:30, 11, maybe midnight. So there will be, in a situation, can you imagine a situation like this if it were adopted nationwide, right? Well, let's say I'm traveling toward Arizona or headed over to Florida, and everybody applies this policy. We're all empty, non-rented hotel, motel rooms will be sopped up by the city, every single one, and all homeless people will be put in there. Doesn't matter if they're drug addicted, doesn't matter if they're doing methamphetamine, doesn't matter if they're strung out on whatever other drug, doesn't matter. They're just every room. So by what time? 6 p.m., 7 p.m., 8 p.m.? So that means that there will be no rooms for families, for travelers, for truck drivers, people that are running late on the road. There will be nothing for them to rent because the city sopped up everything with taxpayer money. It's just amazing how stupid some people are. And there's a special brand of stupid in California. And sadly, this measure, if approved by City Hall, will be sent over to the voters to approve. And it scares me to see what L.A. would do now that a lot of smart people, common sense people, have already left California, and they're still renting U-Haul trucks to leave California as quickly as possible. Here is a business note for you business owners and managers, something that you need to know and news that you need to know. Just a heads up, the Labor Department is working on making things more complicated for you when it comes to staffing. It's bad enough you can't find good people. And of those good people that you have, now you're going to have to figure out if you can afford them. The Labor Department of the Biden administration is working to raise the minimum salaried employee salary. You know, there's hourly and there's salaried. The salaried employees at $35,000, just a little bit north of $35,000. If they cross that threshold, they will need to go hourly because it's more expensive for them to. It would be more expensive because they get overtime after 40 hours. If you can do the job in 40 hours at $35K and a few dollars more, if you can do the job at 40 hours and $35K, if you're under that threshold, you won't be getting overtime. The new threshold would be $50,000. That's what they're talking about over at the Labor Department. Watch it, because this one is being debated and it might come up for public review very soon. It's 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You want to say hi online? Join me on the Twitter X thing at Sergio Talk. Happy Labor Day weekend. Safe travels to you and keep it right here on The Dana Show.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
It's interesting to see how there is a certain element of the population who will just go for him. They're people we would probably never get. They don't share our values in terms of respect for the dignity and worth of every person and the rest.
Yeah, speaking of people out wearing their welcome a long time ago, someone that voters should have sent home a long time ago. Yeah, that's Pelosi. A smear on all you Trumpers, all you Donald Trump supporters. Yeah, that's true. The Democrats, the modern Democrat Party, yeah, you'll never get all these Trump supporters. You'll never get this brand of Republicans. But you know what? They're still American. At least 75 million plus had voted, right? There might be a whole many more. You know, one thing I really am hoping and praying that happens, because just anecdotal observation, you probably saw all this, that was posted. Many folks in urban America, many black folks from all different stripes, all different points of view, as for all different backgrounds is what I mean, as far as it looked like income level, maybe professions. Lots of people, young, old, blacks, online, going to Twitter, going to X, and saying, you know, Donald Trump's being railroaded. Donald Trump's being screwed. I support Donald Trump. And the best way to screw this government that screwed us is by sending Donald Trump back to Washington, D.C. as president. I hope and pray that Donald Trump gets at least twice what he got last time. Maybe 25%, 20-25%, maybe 30%. I think he can get a lot more if he actually advocated in the black community. Went with pastors, went with major artists, and said, we did it once. The highest employment in the black community. We can do it again and then some. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Yeah, I was mentioning the hotel motel thing in L.A. They want to use all the, some people, they want to use all the empty hotel motels to put homeless people in. Would that be also illegal immigrants? 11th bus from Texas arriving in L.A., this time carrying a group of 21 adults, 14 kids, folks from Guatemala, Honduras, Peru, and, oh, look at that, Russia as well. And Taco Bell, or as I lovingly refer to it, alleged Taco Bell, testing out Mountain Dew flavored gelato. Does it have the same amount of caffeine in it? I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're in tune with The Dana Show from South Texas.
If you had to take care of some lefty trying to outsmart you in the Walmart parking lot and missed any portion of today's show, download the latest Dana Show podcast on your preferred podcast platform.
We're in a situation where, you know, we're, how can I say it? There's still some deniers out there in terms of whether or not climate change has anything to do with any of this. And we're going to need a whole hell of a lot more money to deal with emergency appropriations, to deal with all you're taking care of.
Yeah, and that would be a whole hell of a lot of money from our grandkids and great-grandkids. Yeah, just keep taxing them. I'm sure they'll appreciate the tax bill, the interest rate they have to pay on this tax bill, all the deficit spending on all your spending. That's Joe Biden talking about calamity, climate change. You know, big hurricane hit Florida, went southeast. Yeah, typical Democrat, modern Democrat, politician, preying on the what seems to be just the perpetual ignorance of the electorate, seizing on the opportunity from a storm, the fear that it creates and the fascination that it creates. And, oh, look at that. It's climate change. Climate change. The climate is dynamic. It will always has been, always will be. It will always, always change. And, yeah, notice what he said. All these deniers in terms of how the climate change is taking place, or you know, how we're affecting the climate. Just propaganda, propaganda to take more money, take more wealth, propaganda to take more control. That's all it is climate change. And we're all impressed. All of us, from grandma to our kids, everybody impressed how amazing the weather is, whether it's a super snowstorm, tornadoes, big hurricanes. Oh, it must be something that we did. That's just darn right ignorant. And we got way too many saps in our country that fall for this ruse, this propaganda. Man, we've only been really gauging the weather for, but really, as far as telemetry and data, over the past 100 years plus. Go back to maritime reports, go back several hundred years. I mean, go back millions of years when the earth was really, really hot, right? All of Texas, many of these states in the south, everybody underwater. We had the ocean come up to West Texas. We had millions and millions of dinosaurs and all these animals that, you know, their flatulence filling up the atmosphere full of, you know, greenhouse gas, all these big plants decomposing all over the place. It was nice and toasty, nice and warm way back then. Oh, no, man. Human beings are the ones that are destroying the earth right now. We got to show us a crisis. Shut up. Let's see, other stuff I need to mention here before we go to Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz wants to help us save AM radio. help save AM radio from all the EVs and some of the auto manufacturers that want to kill it. They want AM radio. How convenient, right? Get rid of AM radio, get rid of some of the conservative point of view. Now, staying on media, Gannett, the newspaper people, they were in the news a few days back. They tried artificial intelligence, some service to write basic stuff like high school sports dispatches. They were embarrassed. People went to social media and made a mockery of what they were trying to do with artificial intelligence. So the newspaper writers' gigs, people posting information on newspaper and newspaper sites, they're safe for a while. But I'm in the camp that believes that artificial intelligence will someday get much of the routine posts, routine information, routine scores, basic, let's say, government-provided reports, either on traffic or weather, things like that, and position that properly in the publication that will be online. At some point, the paper version of it, it's I do believe it's going to die. I know we all like, many of us like the feel of paper, but it's scheduled to die. It will all be online. And a lot of the work could be done by AI. They'll still need a reporter, gather the information at City Hall to conduct interviews with the mayor, conduct interviews with the county judge, post a write-up of that. Maybe AI can make things faster and correct any of the mistakes. But less reporters, less editors. Yeah, AI is going to help with all that. I think that the jobs that are at most risk in media are the, for example, the Clueless News Network, Fox and all the cables, the local TV people that have to read and perform on the TV news, on the cable news, on the online YouTube channel news. It's the standard news readers. I think that those folks are the ones that will go first quickly. Those careers probably will die before newspapers, many more newspapers die, and the print version dies. I think AI can take whatever's produced by the newspaper writer, by the TV or radio news department writer. And it's mostly come from newspaper, mostly in press pools like the Associated Press and other press pools. Somebody has to write, somebody has to amass, somebody has to collect, interview, collect, edit, write all this information for a news puppet, a human puppet, to read it, to perform it, all glass. So the online AI version of a news puppet, a meat puppet, is probably going to be better looking. We'll never need to shower, never need to put on makeup, will always be better looking than a human being that shows up maybe half, you know, from the weekend, still half baked, maybe looks a little bit haggard, and you got bags under the eye. You'll never have to suffer with that. You'll always have a beautiful person, actually an AI person, performing, reading the clean copy that was produced in combination by human intelligence and artificial intelligence. It's the anchors. You guys are targets for that. I think your careers or on the line. And other stories that fascinated me. A pig kidney that is still functioning in a brain-dead man 6 weeks after transplant. Up in New York, this poor individual, 57-year-old man, his family, you know, he's brain-dead. His family agreed with doctors. Yeah, let's do the modified pig kidney. Let's see how long it lasts. So there you go. 6 weeks and counting on this modified pig kidney, which I was thinking, might this be the beginning of, you know, Island of Dr. Moreau type of stuff, where, I don't know, maybe you could get superpowers. Like, can you mix things up where in the future a human being can actually, like, shoot a web, like Spider-Man, or maybe get the proper tendons and muscles where you can be as fast as a cheetah, or maybe have the muscle mass and strength of a big ape or something like that, like superpowers, right? Maybe night vision, sonar vision, like bats, you know, you can send and receive the echo of that, know where you are and all those things. Or maybe gills, go swimming, right? Like fish. My producer Freddie's shaking his head. Well, that's that. I mean, we have a whole comic series that's based on that, on mutants that have superpowers of animals and insects. Well, that's where my mind went with this pig kidney thing. 6 weeks and counting, somewhere up in New York. Get about 17 minutes left in this hour. Thank you for joining us on The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. Well, let me share with you a conversation I recently had with one of our senators in Texas, a bipartisan effort to save AM radio. Go ahead, Steve. It's an honor for me to introduce again a friend, dear friend, and a great leader of the state of Texas, one of our senators, Ted Cruz, working on legislation to keep AM radio, keep all the AM radios on the air. So tell me about that.
Well, Sergio, that's exactly right. Good to be with you. Sure. When it comes to AM radio, I'm a huge believer in AM radio. I think it is powerful and makes a difference in a lot of people's lives. More than 80 million Americans listen to AM radio every month, and 40% of radio listeners tune in from their cars. And earlier this year, unfortunately, 8 different automakers announced that they were pulling AM radio out of all new cars and trucks. They were no longer going to make it available for people to be able to listen to AM radio. Now, I think that's a big problem. AM radio is enormously valuable, especially in times of a natural disaster or emergency. At a time of a disaster, often other media of communications go down, and AM radio has proven the most consistently reliable medium for speaking to people in harm's way and giving them instructions that they need to know in terms of how to save themselves and their family if there's a hurricane or a tornado or fire or other natural disaster.
Yeah.
Beyond that, AM radio also serves a huge value in rural areas, where in many rural areas, that's all you can get. And farmers and ranchers throughout Texas rely on AM radio for weather and crop reports, for sports and entertainment and news. Beyond that, AM radio also allows lots of different diverse voices to be heard on the airwaves. Across the country, there are 296 AM radio stations owned by Hispanics. There are 138 AM radios owned by African Americans. There are 104 AM radio stations owned by Asian Americans. There are 385 AM radio stations owned by women. The barriers to entry to get a station out on air are much lower than they are in FM, and it lets many people, more diverse people, speak and get a message out. But also critically, and the reason that I really was moved to action, is that AM radio is an oasis for talk radio, and in particular, conservative talk radio.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Millions of Texans, millions of Americans go to AM radio to listen to you, Sergio, to
yeah.
listen to conservatives
yeah.
speak the truth yeah. in an environment where so much of the corporate media silences the truth and won't talk about what's actually happening. And I think that's the reason the automakers are proposing pulling it out of their new cars and trucks. I think it's another example a big business being willing to silence conservative voices, and that's something that I'm not going to sit quietly aside and let happen.
Yeah, I would suspect, yeah, you're probably right. I suspect that some of them probably not shedding a tear on the possibility of silencing those conservative voices on the little news departments and talk radio stations that are all over the country providing an alternative point of view. But going back to your primary argument on this, which I think is obviously the strongest argument, it is the backbone, AM radio, hundreds and hundreds of stations nationwide. That is the backbone for the emergency alert system in our country. It is a layer of information. It's a primary in the multiple layers, because I know people get the emergency alerts on their phones, and then all of a sudden all these phones start announcing, like, you know, some child was abducted somewhere. The little amber alerts, they all go, that scary sound all over the place. But the radio is the primary system for information and the emergency alert system. Some of these car makers say that because of their batteries, right, their electric vehicles, unfortunately on the AM band, it causes a buzz. They can't broadcast it cleanly. Okay, well, they can figure out a way through the internet that they provide through their vehicles, through the internet, a connection back to the website of the AM radio station, which all of us have, to get the crisp, clear audio through the vehicles. I think it's a real easy solution, because that's what I do, and that's what doctors in the area and other politicians do. They have electric vehicles. If the automakers do that, automatically when an AM station is requested on their electric vehicle, well, they get the clean feed, internet-based feed in their vehicle. So they don't have to reinvent the wheel on the electric vehicle side for this to be safe.
Well, and Sergio, there's also, you're right that they're arguing that there can be interference with an electric vehicle. There's a very inexpensive fix of about a $40 shield that ends the interference, and they know how to do that, and it's simple.
Sure.
And to be clear, they weren't just pulling AM out of electric vehicles. They were pulling them out of internal combustion engine vehicles,
that's right. All of them.
Too.
Ford
they were pulling
was
them out of everything.
That's right.
The interference was, I think, a red herring. They just decided to pull it out of everything. But there's good news. So we had two big victories recently on this. What I did when they announced this is that I teamed up with Ed Markey. Ed Markey may well be the most liberal senator in the U.S. Senate. He represents Massachusetts. And the two of us teamed together and introduced legislation. It's Markey-Cruz legislation that mandates that automakers have to carry AM radio and make it available to consumers and let consumers choose if they want to listen to AM radio. And when we introduced the legislation, just 4 days later, Ford Motor Company, one of the biggest car companies, reversed their decision and publicly announced that they were now going to include AM radio in all their new cars and trucks. And I think what happened is they looked at legislation that had me on it, the most conservative senator, and Ed Markey, the most liberal senator, and I think they thought it was Armageddon. And they just said, we can't fight this, and they gave in.
Well, that's good. Our Texas Senator Ted Cruz, my guest.
AM radio, we've had big legislative victories. So 3 weeks ago, the last day the Senate was in session, my AM radio bill passed the Senate Commerce Committee. I'm the ranking member on that committee, the senior Republican, and the Markey-Cruz AM radio bill passed the Senate Commerce Committee with overwhelming bipartisan support. So that bill is now moving on to the floor of the Senate. I think we're going to get it passed. We have massive bipartisan support. I think we're going to get it done.
Ted Cruz from Texas. Well, I sure hope so. Get her done, Senator. 10 minutes left in the hour. From South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Happy Friday, my friend. And thank you for always tuning in to The Dana Show. Dana, Chris, big thanks to you for giving me the call today. Producer Steve, thanks for, and producer Kane, my brother Sugar Kane, thanks for all the information, all the audio cuts. And we got the stupid audio of the day here coming up. And who dat, of course, is going to be Joe Biden. So in California, in L.A., they want to go after Governor Greg Abbott and all these charter buses he's been sending out to L.A. Because one of the charter buses arrived around the time that they had a tropical system, Hillary, show up. Caused some flooding nearby, some mudslides, an impressive video, no deaths, nothing bad happened. Thank you, Jesus. It was just a big rainmaker for California but they're using that as an excuse to go after him, sue him, maybe charge him with a crime because he sent all these migrants to L.A. If they only knew the things that these people have seen in their trek across Central America, in their trek across cartel-dominated, cartel-run Mexico, all the from the thunder showers to the storms to the whatever earthquakes and extortions and kidnappings and murders and a nice with snacks and food with security bus ride and air-conditioned plush comfort from that they chose, by the way, all these migrants, so-called migrants, they chose that destination point. They chose L.A. for whatever reason. Maybe they have family, they have friends in L.A. They chose to go there, and state of Texas providing the transportation with security, with some snacks. They chose to go there because L.A., because California is a sanctuary state. But just this desired prosecution, I don't know if this thing gets legs, but they want to go after him. Typical of the Democrat political mindset for so long now, where everything is backwards, everything is upside down. The criminal, and it is criminal behavior to cross the border illegally, is the victim. The one who tries to enforce the law, Greg Abbott, and Texas authorities and DPS, they wind up being the bad guys for setting up the system. Because, by the way, these folks that are arriving in L.A., they might be part of the population that fills up the hotels, motels that are empty, if voters in L.A. say, yes, all empty hotel rooms need to be used by the homeless, they say. If they approve that, it's going to be a bunch of illegal immigrants in their town. Steve, some stupid audio of the day. Let's go to Joe Biden. What you got?
He went to see FEMA yesterday, and this is how he started.
Well, I don't know why I'm paying attention to these few guys up here. So everybody, all kidding aside, my mother would say, I apologize for my back. I apologize.
Joe Biden telling him not to look at his butt. I could say so. What, his diaper, something coming out? I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.